Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 18 February, 2026, 3rd John.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday tomorrow. It's my son Dave's birthday. Happy birthday, son, tomorrow. And I'm just happy that God let you live this long. That's wonderful. Happy birthday. We have two sons. We've had about 50 dogs. And I love both my sons very, very, very much. They're both not only believers in Jesus Christ, but they both love God and love the Word of God. And that's all that a father and a mother can ask for. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 3 John. 3 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In verses 9 through 11, we have met the worst of the worst. He is a believer in Jesus Christ. He is right now in heaven. And his name is Diotrephes. And he's in verses 9 through 11. And we've exegeted verse 9, verse 10, and halfway of verse 11. Verse 9 says, I have written something, a doctrinal letter, to the church, but Diotrephes, the one who loves to be first in authority among them, the congregation, does not accept our authority, the Apostle John's authority, or any sound doctrinal teacher. Verse 10. For this reason, if I come, third class condition, maybe I will come, maybe I won't, I will call attention to his deeds, which he is doing, slandering and maligning us with evil words. And because he's not satisfied with these things, because of the arrogance of unhappiness, neither does he himself welcome or recognize the spiritual authority of these brethren, fellow pastors, missionaries, and evangelists, and he prevents and forbids those believers in his own church who desire to do so. And then he throws them out, expels them from the church. Verse 11. Beloved, royal family of God, do not imitate, do not follow what is evil, the plan of Satan, but what is intrinsically good, the plan of God. Now, at that point, we have stopped to study the doctrine of evil. Now, I've never taught the doctrine of evil. I'll tell you something right now. The Bible has a lot to say about evil. A lot. And this is probably one of the most important doctrines that you, as a member of the royal family of God, can learn to know and have it nailed down. This is absolutely important in the time in which we are living today. We're living in a nation, as much as I love America, and I love America, I love our nation, I love what that flag stands for, I love freedom, but we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, and we are a nation in great, great evil. There is great evil throughout our land. Now we're still here, so there's hope. And the hope is Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for America. But you see, we have so much evil in this country that there are over half the people in this nation hate Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus Christ. And they hate Christians. And they hate Jews. And all of that is evil to the core. And so the only hope for our nation is the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and a spiritual revival. And that means the grace gospel going all over America, that many sons might be brought into glory. And that means all these Christians that are out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system, full of evil, Christians full of evil, that they rebound, get back into fellowship, filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. And then they need to seek out a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the pivot will enlarge enough that we will be delivered from the fifth cycle of national discipline. Because as we stand right now, we are very, very close to the fifth cycle of national discipline. And that's why this doctrine, you will be amazed at the amount of time in passages in the Word of God that God talks about evil. And all of these things we'll be going through. You need to learn this, believe this, nail it down, and especially in the time in which we live. So we are part way through point one. Point one. And point one is definition. And in that definition, we noted 10 points so far in definition. First of all, we noted that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that's all of you here, you are either going to be influenced by evil, or you're going to be influenced by the absolute truth of the Word of God. All of you. Every believer. This is true for every believer in America. You are either going to be influenced by evil, or you're going to be influenced by the absolute truth of the Word of God. Two, evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. Evil is the MO of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and continues today as the ruler of planet Earth. Three, evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. Four, evil is the function and thinking of that person who is consistently involved, consistently living his life in Satan's cosmic system. And there's two parts of Satan's cosmic system. Cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Five, evil is the downtrend of a nation. Downtrend of a nation. And we are in a downtrend in the United States of America. And we are right now the client nation to God. But I'll tell you what. There are nations out there, and one of them is Ukraine. Ukraine could easily be a client nation to God. The government in Ukraine is actually having the Bible taught in public school throughout the Ukraine. That's the government having the Bible taught all throughout Ukraine. That is fantastic. That's not true in America. They hate any Christian in a school. Evil's taught in the schools. No way will this government allow the Bible to be taught in the school. But the downtrend in our nation is going so fast. A few years ago, when Derek and Dave, my sons, we were homeschooling them here in the church for many, many years. We homeschooled them here, and then P.E. was going over to the park and playing football. And I was all-time quarterback. And finally they said to me, "Dad, we're tired of you being all-time quarterback. We want to go and play real football." But I was teaching them how to run routes, how to catch the ball in your hands, not against your body. They learned all these things. I said, "You want to go to a real school, huh?" And so we had some property up at Cold Creek. And if you lived up at Cold Creek, you could go to Indian Springs, a 1A school. 1A school. And there's only about 100 kids in the whole school. I said, "All right, you can go to Indian Springs High School." And they went there and turned out for football and turned out for track. And I got a call from the track coach here at the church. And he said, "Pastor Olson, I understand that you ran hurdles in college." I said, "Yes." He says, "Could you come out and help and look at my hurdle? I don't know how to coach hurdling. Could you just come out and take a look at our hurdlers?" And so I said, "Well, I'll tell you. I have the gift of pastor-teacher. I'm here, number one, to study and teach the Word of God. That's number one. But I can organize my life so I can come out for an hour or two and help out. So I came out, and he watched me working with the kids, and then he said, Pastor Olson, would you like to be my assistant, the assistant track coach out here? And I said, okay, I'll be your assistant. And I said, but here's one condition. I like to have the freedom to talk to these kids about Jesus Christ. I like to have the freedom to give the grace gospel to these kids and to teach them principles of the Word of God. And he says, I think that's a great idea. So you'll be the assistant track coach. You'll coach hurdling and high jump and long jump and triple jump. And he was an expert, Tim Daly, expert, a distance coach. And he says, and we'll be a team. And he says, no problem. You can talk to the kids about Jesus Christ and you can give the grace gospel. Well, that was way back a long time ago. And we've degenerated a long way from that time to now. Now, you can't even mention Jesus Christ or the Bible in a public school today. So evil is the downtrend of a nation. 6, evil results in the destruction of a nation, the malfunction of a nation, and an attack. Evil attacks legitimate authority within that nation. That means evil will attack law enforcement, the police force, ICE agents, border patrol. All of these are part of legitimate authority to protect the Constitution of the United States of America and provide for the law-abiding citizen protection for the law-abiding citizen. 8, evil is anti the laws of divine establishment. 9, just as grace and truth represent the genius and policy of God in relationship to the human race, so evil represents the genius and policy of Satan in relationship to the human race. You see, your soul is the battleground. The battleground of every single believer is your soul. And the Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There are two ways of thinking. Thinking the absolute truth of the Word of God, which glorifies Christ, or thinking evil, which dishonors Christ. 10, recovery from sin is instantaneous through the use of the problem-solving device of rebound. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly being restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And now you get up and move on. We all sin. Every one of us sin. But as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you keep short accounts. You sin, man, you rebound, get back into fellowship, get up and get going. But recovery from evil, that's a different thing. Recovery from evil takes time through consistent and faithful learning and believing the absolute truth of the Word of God, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. All right, that brings us now to subpoint 11. Evil is a distortion of the absolute truth of the Word of God. And that's what Satan is the expert at. Evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world, and he's an expert at distorting the absolute truth of the Word of God. He will take a passage of the Word of God. He'll take the gospel and mention parts of the gospel that the same as you do, but he will distort it. He will add one thing, work. Add a work. You must not just believe in Jesus Christ. You must believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized. You must believe in Jesus Christ and do this. You must believe in Jesus Christ and do that. That's Satan's genius. And that's a false gospel. Every one of those are false gospels. No one can be saved. And he knows that. And all he has, there will be part of it that's a part of the Word of God, and then he distorts it and either adds something or leaves something out. So, evil is a distortion of the absolute truth of the Word of God. 12. Evil distorts the laws of divine establishment. In many different areas, in law enforcement, as we mentioned before, in marriage, in the family, these laws of divine establishment are attacked as evil. Evil winds up supporting crime. And we see that all over America right now. Evil supports crime and the criminal. 13. Evil is what you think as an apostate and reversionistic believer. Evil is what you think as an apostate and reversionistic believer. So, the worst and most detrimental thing that can happen to a believer is to come under the influence of evil. The worst and most detrimental thing that can happen to a believer is to come under the influence of evil. 14. Evil is every deviation and distortion of the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. Evil is every deviation and distortion of the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. All right, now that's point one, definition. Now point two, you got your Bibles? Get ready? All right. Biblical documentation. Biblical documentation. Subpoint one. The spiritually mature believer can distinguish between kalos and kakos. It's similar. Kalos. That which is honorable, noble, virtuous, that's kalos. Kakos, K-A-K-O-S, that is evil. So, the spiritually mature believer can distinguish between kalos, that which is honorable, and virtuous and noble, from that which is kakos, evil. The spiritually mature believer, not the reversionistic believer, and we got a lot of Christians that are reversionistic believers, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. But the spiritually mature believer, the one who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the one who has attained spiritual maturity, who has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, that believer can distinguish between kalos, that which is honorable, virtuous, and noble, from that which is kakos, evil. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. And we're in 3 John right now. We're almost finished with 3 John. And then we're going to be in Hebrews. And I'm working away in Hebrews. And I tell you, oh, mama, Hebrews, that's going to be amazing. Whew. There's a lot there. Now, here's a question for you. You can think about this, not right now, but you can know, who is the author of Hebrews? It's not me. I'm an old fart, but it's not me. I'll let you all mull that over. Nowhere it says who the author is. There's a lot of people who do a lot of guessing. You know, when we were doing homeschooling with the kids, that was fantastic. I taught math, I'm an English major and I'm teaching math. But I taught math and it was very simple. If you missed one, you flunked. You missed one, you flunked. Now you're going to go back. We're going to go give you another assignment. Go again. Do you have any questions about this? Why did you get that wrong? I want to see your work, what you did there. Then they redo it. If they miss one, you flunk. Get an F. You had to get 100% to move on to the next. And we went through the entire year studying math that way. And when they got into school and under a math teacher, I think it was Dave, came home, he says, I had a test and I missed one and I should have flunked. And I got an A. I said, yeah, that's that lousy public school. Good thing if I was a teacher, you'd have flunked. But anyway, now you know how the public school does those things. You got to get an A for that. But and the teacher that they had, she told Debbie, your sons, they knew their math inside and out. She says it was just, and they were homeschooled, and they knew their math inside and out. She says it was amazing. It was really fun. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. And in Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 6, verse 20, we have a warning. Don't degenerate from Christ. Chapter 5, 11 through 6, 20. Don't degenerate from Christ. Verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Now that's not great. What they're saying is that you are unteachable. You're unteachable. But it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. You're unteachable. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word. You're still babies spiritually. You're still spiritual babies. You should be spiritually mature, but you're unteachable. So you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk. and milk is basic Bible doctrine. Not solid food, advanced Bible doctrine. Anyone who lives on milk, basic Bible doctrine, being still a baby, an infant, you're a baby believer, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food, advanced Bible doctrine, is for the mature believer who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish kalos, that which is honorable, virtuous, and noble, from kakos, that which is evil. See, most believers today can't distinguish it. Only the spiritually mature believer can distinguish between kalos, that which is honorable, noble, virtuous, from that which is evil, kakos. Only the spiritually mature believer. Not the baby believer. Not the one who has never grown up. Not the one who is unteachable. Unteachable usually because they think they know everything already. They know more than God. And they know more than Pastor Olson. They know more than any pastor, sound doctrinal pastor. They're unteachable. And they never grow up. They just stay a baby believer. And they cannot distinguish between that which is kalos, honorable, virtuous, noble, and that which is evil. Great passage, Hebrews 5:11-14. Looking forward to teaching Hebrews. We'll be in chapter 5 of Hebrews about 5 years down the road there. Subpoint 2. Evil and degeneracy start with a thought. Evil and degeneracy start with a thought. Turn over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Matthew 15:19. So evil and degeneracy start with a thought. Principle. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart will insulate your soul from evil. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart will insulate your soul from evil. It will motivate you to reject evil and not be overcome by evil. So maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart will insulate your soul from evil. It will motivate you to reject evil and not be overcome by evil. Another principle. When you live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one is the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled or empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this will protect your soul from thinking evil. So when you live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, this will protect your soul from thinking evil. Subpoint 3. Virtue love. And of course, by now, most of you got this nailed down. Virtue love, three-part, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue love, that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the church age. So subpoint 3, virtue love does not delight in evil. Virtue love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the absolute truth, the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Virtue love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 6. Virtue love does not delight in evil. Virtue love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the aletheia, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Virtue love always protects your soul, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Virtue love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, 6 through 8. So virtue love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the absolute truth, the aletheia of the Word of God. Subpoint 4. The believer is warned to beware of those who practice evil. The believer is warned to beware of those who practice evil. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 2. We'll start at verse 2. Beware of the dogs. Now, I think doggies are fantastic. I've had a lot of dogs, but these are, and, you know, there's a lot of ugly women. They call dogs too. There's a lot of ugly men. They're called shitheads, you know, so. There goes the dignity of the clergy again. Yeah. Verse 2, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. The evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, the sin nature. Now, The Apostle Paul labels the legalistic Judaizers as three things, as dogs, and then as evil, evil workers. These are religious people, legalistic Judaizers, evil workers. And third, the false circumcision. These evil workers, they taught that circumcision was necessary for salvation, which is a false gospel. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. This salvation is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Soon as you add works, that is evil. An evil, false gospel. Subpoint 5. Believers are specifically warned not to be influenced by evil, but to be influenced by the intrinsic good of the Word of God. And that's our verse, 3 John verse 11. Believers are specifically warned not to be influenced by evil, but be influenced by the intrinsic good of the Word of God. 3 John verse 11, our verse. Six. The Bible also tells us that it is a dangerous temptation and evil for any believer to lust for money and be distracted away from the spiritual life. It is a dangerous temptation and evil for any believer to lust for money and be distracted away from the spiritual life. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting at verse 10. For the lust of money, the lust for money is a root of all categories of evil. The lust for money is a root of all categories of evil. And some, by longing for it, and these are believers, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. Sound doctrinal Bible teaching, and they have pierced themselves with many pains, divine discipline. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, and godliness. And the word godliness is elsebeia. That's Eusebeia, elsebeia. And this is the Greek word that refers to the spiritual life. The best way to translate this is not godliness, but the spiritual life. Pursue grace righteousness and elsebeia, the spiritual life, and faith, the Word of God, the body of faith, Bible doctrine, and virtue, love, and perseverance, and gentleness, grace orientation. Fight the good fight of doctrine, of faith. The body of faith, Bible doctrine. So, again, it is a dangerous temptation and evil for any believer to lust for money and be distracted away from the spiritual life. 7. Being influenced by evil explains why prayers are not answered. Being influenced by evil explains why prayers are not answered. And I've been here almost 50 years. Next year will be 50 years. We got a deal out there, 40th anniversary. We're going to take that thing down. We'll put one up, 50th anniversary, 50 years here. In one church, a very few, you can count on about one finger the number of people that have been teaching for 50 years in one local church. But there are a lot of believers, and they said to me, I don't pray anymore because it doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. Well, yeah. Well, that's because you're influenced by evil. That's why. That's not hard to figure out. It's because you're not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Because you haven't reached spiritual maturity. It's because you don't have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. It's not hard to figure. And that most Christians in America today. And they don't pray because they don't think prayer works. Well, prayer works. And when I was at Dallas Seminary, there was one of our group that listened to the colonel. And he said at lunch, I don't think prayer works. I said, what's your spiritual gift, pastor, teacher? Now, let me ask you this. When God puts you in a church, are you going to tell the congregation prayer doesn't work? You going to tell them that? You call me when you get that church. I'll come over and say, hey, this Yahoo says prayer doesn't work. You know. I said, prayer works. But a right thing has to be done a right way to work. And most Christians today, their prayers go nowhere if they pray. Most of them don't pray at all. And if they do pray, it doesn't go past the ceiling. But the winner believer prays consistently, habitually. The winner believer loves to pray. The winner believer enjoys praying. Not just a 2-minute shorty. But a winner believer will pray several times during the day, every single day, day after day after day. He will pray many times. That's the winner believer. But being influenced by evil explains why the prayers of most believers are not answered. Turn over to Job 35. Job 35. Job 35, starting at verse 9. Men cry out under a load of oppression. In other words, they're going through suffering. They plead for relief from the arm of the powerful. But no one says, where is God my maker? Because they're negative. They have no humility. They're arrogant. No one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night, who teaches more to us than to the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of the air? So he, God, does not answer when men cry out in prayer. God doesn't answer when these arrogant people cry out in prayer because of the arrogance of evil men. Indeed, God does not listen to their empty plea. The Almighty pays no attention to it. Job 35:9-13. 8. Believers are often led into the cosmic system and evil by the people they choose to associate with. Believers are often led into the cosmic system and evil by the people they choose to associate with. And oftentimes this includes family members and being influenced by their communication of evil. So believers are often led into the cosmic system and evil by people they choose to associate with, and oftentimes this includes their own family members. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, stop being deceived. And then, I don't know, my translation says, bad company. The word is kakos, evil. Evil company, kakos company, corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, with integrity, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. And turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men. For not all have the body of faith, Bible doctrine, in their souls. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Nine. God protects the spiritually mature believer from evil. God protects the spiritually mature believer from evil. He protects the believer who has wisdom. That's the culmination of grace perspicacity. Wisdom, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. So God protects the spiritually mature believer from evil. He protects the believer who has wisdom, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting at verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart. That's the last stage of grace perspicacity. We start out with the stage one, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher communicating the absolute truth of the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit taking that communication and teaching your human spirit, and then down it goes into your mind, the for gnosis doctrine that you comprehend. But that's not the end. The target is your heart. The target is get the Word of God, absolute truth in your heart. And that means you must believe it. And if you go to church and you say, Pastor Olson, I understand what you're saying, but Pastor Olson, I don't believe what you're saying. Well, that's fine. You're free to believe. You're free to reject. But you're free to come. You're free not to come. But if you don't believe it, you'll never have wisdom. You'll never have wisdom because you must believe it for it to enter your heart. And only then can you skillfully and accurately apply the absolute truth of God's Word to your life in every situation. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will deliver you from the ways of evil, from the ways of evil men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are twisted and who are devious in their ways. And then turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 20. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote reconciliation, the removal of barriers. No evil befalls the grace righteous, the spiritually mature believer, but the evil one will have their fill of trouble, maximum divine discipline. Proverbs 12, 20 and 21. All right. Well, now we're partway through point two. Like I said, I've never taught this. There is so much in the Bible about the doctrine of evil. It's imperative that all of you learn this, believe it, and live your life by the absolute truth of this. Okay? We'll take it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.